Do you feel too full after meals like your digestion could use a little support? Try Bitterex from Quiksilver Scientific. Bitterex is a blend of botanical bitter extracts designed to support healthy digestion and your body's natural digestive processes. Bitter herbs have been used for centuries to support digestive function, helping stimulate digestive activity. Just a few pumps before meals make Quiksilver Scientific's Bitterex easy to add to your routine. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It's Tuesday, March 31st, and you are listening to the Shepherd Ambella Show. Airs daily 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central. Please support the show. Subscribe if you haven't already. It makes a big difference for the algorithms. Also, comment during the show in the comment section and join us in the chat during the live. The show also archives on Apple Podcast and Spotify. Well, they're saying that more than half of U.S. home listings are stale. And there's, of course, a list of the top 10 cities and, you know, the whole housing market in the United States is just not looking good. But of course, these home listings have just, you know, the sellers are outnumbering the buyers. So all these houses are just sitting around, and there's private equity firms trying to buy up a lot of this stuff. And they're saying that in February, 52% of the listings on the market were out for at least 60 days without going under contract, which is the highest share for the month since 2019. And this is all based on these Redfin reporting, but they're saying that it's basically a buyer's market right now, and a lot of these houses are just sitting. There's actually millions of homes out there awaiting buyers, and all this comes as inflation's at an all-time high, rent prices. You know, people are complaining about all this stuff, and this, you know, goes into the state of the nation and just how everything is unfolding right now. And it's starting to get really strange. And Avi Loeb, Harvard professor Avi Loeb, we had him on the show. Mouse got him on the show. And he's now saying these fireballs, there was 11 fireballs over the United States alone last week, he's saying could be from 3I Alice, because Earth is now approaching the vicinity that Atlas traveled by some months back, okay? And this is what we were all waiting for this April date, and all this is coming to a head. And then NASA comes out and says there's 15,000 phantom asteroids out there that could start hitting cities, like we're in some type of debris field. And now the London Guardian saying that a satellite smashing chain reaction could spiral out of control and basically just take down all these satellites, and everything could just go crazy. I mean, you know, they launch so many satellites per year now, and it's getting busy up there. But also, supposedly there's gravitational anomalies that the Earth is going to start seeing coming up, and all this could play into even the war in Iran and what they're going after, why they're making these moves, why the U.S. is trying to acquire Greenland, has considered acquiring Greenland by force because they want to make up what's called the Greater North America. And what it really is project for a new American century that the neocons came up with. It's PNAC 2.0, I call it. You know, and they're basically trying to make a North American Union. And right now, with this war, we have a report out of the Mirror where they're saying Iran is threatening 18 huge companies with destruction. They're saying the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps said that a number of American multinational companies in the technology and industrial sectors, including Google, Apple, Intel, Boeing, are involved in terrorist operations. And this was in a statement carried by Iran's semi-official their news agency that's semi-official over there. And they say, we advise the employees of these institutions to immediately distance themselves from their workplaces to preserve their lives. So they're talking about, you know, and I don't know if they're planning these attacks at facilities in other countries or in the U.S. or if they're just cyber, right? It could even be like cyber. But they did mention to preserve their lives. Well, we got a nuclear winter warning. Some UN diplomat has stepped down, citing safety concerns. And this plays into this war with Iran, the whole Gulf scenario, the Strait of Hormuz, all of this working its way toward nuclear escalation. The Russians are even involved. But this Mohammed Safa, a UN human rights diplomat, has resigned from his position. And he's accused the international organization of preparing to use nuclear weapons. So he knows what's coming. And he put out a warning that there's a looming nuclear catastrophe and a threat to his own safety and well-being. And this has gone out. So now, obviously, it looks like we're getting closer and closer to what they're going to call a nuclear war or conflict or crisis. They're going to turn this all into an energy crisis, start locking down. You know, they've already locked down certain countries, told them to work from home. And the U.S. will be the same way. And everyone will be told to stay inside. And you won't know when people go missing in these camps and who's red listers and who they're arresting that's anti-Semitic. And anti-Semitic, it will be, if you don't agree with the war with Iran, you'll be anti-Semitic or a terrorist, right? So now that U.S. gas prices are over $4 a gallon, people are wondering what's going on. And they're over $8 a gallon in some areas. And Vice President Vance is out there telling people, oh, you know, you're going to face a rough road ahead, but hey, you know, it's all going to be worth it. This is the rhetoric that they're using when they're basically saying it's all going to be worth it. And they're saying that diesel prices are surging now, of course, and, you know, so is gas, but they're watering down the gas and they're going to make this E15 gas available with more ethanol. And people are noticing it already.
That they are about to start diluting your gasoline this May. So basically, the EPA just announced that starting on May the 1st, gas stations across the country can sell E15 fuel nationwide. If you're somebody that doesn't know what E15 fuel is, it's gasoline that's cut with 15% ethanol instead of just the usual 10. And you literally cannot make this up right now because they are calling it fortifying the domestic fuel supply, which is a really weird way to say that you're just going to be adding more corn juice to people's gas.
The EPA has issued emergency waivers for gasoline blends like E15.
Now, this is why it actually matters to you, because ethanol has less energy than regular gasoline, so your car gets worse fuel economy on E15. The entire point of this is that you might be saving about 25 cents per gallon at the pump, but you're burning through it faster, so obviously the savings just cancels itself out. But this is the part that genuinely nobody's talking about, because the EPA normally bans E15 during the summer because ethanol evaporates faster in heat and creates more smog. They explicitly know this, but they just decided to waive their own rule that they made anyways because gas prices are high right now and people are angry. And if you're somebody that owns an older car, a lawnmower, a boat, or a chainsaw, they're saying to be careful because E15 can mess up those engines. So they're making your gas cheaper by just making it worse. Is that even surprising at this point?
They're going to break down everyone's cars on purpose. They're going to turn them into cash for clunkers, and they're going to take away driving privileges. They're going to take away flight in the U.S. and other countries. You won't be able to travel anymore virtually, and they're going to start limiting everything. And, you know, it's getting crazy. The ICE camps guys are going to start becoming active with, I mean, they already have been, but it's going to really start ramping up here. And they're going to start rounding up red listers, Americans, all of it. Well, just what I said. Now it's come out. Documents claim the bullet used doesn't match the alleged rifle, because we all know that a 30-06 would have done a lot more damage in the Charlie Kirk shooting than they've admitted. And now they've had to come out and admit this. And that apparently probably exonerates the shooter as well, the Tyler Robinson. And now the cop involved that tipped people off to Tyler Robinson has resigned. And this whole thing has come out that it basically was just, I guess they couldn't investigate this in the first 5 minutes like I did and already figure this out. It took months and months and months and millions of videos, and Candace has got billions of views off of the subject, but no one just did a simple analysis like I did. And so once again, I got it right. Here we are. And now we have, you know, in my opinion, that Tyler Robinson was all AI generated video and stuff. So we had a patsy ultimately. Well, Warren Buffett says he hasn't talked to Bill Gates since the whole Epstein thing unraveled. I mean, do we believe that? All these people are connected. He's saying he's not spoken to the Microsoft founder, Bill Gates, since this whole fiasco. And, you know, he doesn't want to be in a position to be called as a witness, apparently. So there's that. So all these rich people distancing themselves from anyone connected, you know, to these Epstein files. Now, if your food contains the label ingredient E120 or E904, it contains bugs. Just FYI, you're eating bugs. I'm going to play a clip of Jesse Ventura, because Jesse Ventura has been outspoken about Donald Trump lately. And I've spoken with Jesse Ventura before on Clubhouse and whatnot, and you know, I didn't really agree with his position, but now he's, you know, flip-flopping. I think he could be, you know, scripted, like a scripted in central casting member, but maybe not. You know, I mean, anyone that believes in left-right politics at this point is duped. But let's listen to this Jesse Ventura on Piers Morgan. This exchange is really fascinating, guys. Let's listen to this.
Who will start the fight and then hold your coat? That's Donald Trump. He'll start the fight, but he'll hold your coat, and then the next day he'll tell everybody how tough he was.
Jesse Ventura, it's great to see you've lost none of your fighting spirit in the many years since I last interviewed you. Thank you very much for coming on.
Piers.
In this video, former governor and Navy...
And that brought me back out of retirement to stand up against the war criminal in the White House.
Wow. Well, that sounds suitably dramatic.
Well, that's the way it happened. I mean, I was retired. I hadn't watched the news since the last election. My son said, "You're way better, Dad. You're not tense anymore. Keep it up." And then lo and behold, these ICE characters, I call them the Gestapo, and I think I can do that. And let me get something straight right now, Piers, so people know where I'm coming from. My Uncle Emil fought in World War I. My parents both fought in World War II. My father had 6 bronze battle stars in Europe. My mother was a nurse in North Africa, which predated Normandy, fighting Rommel, the Desert Fox, the greatest German general. Both my parents were World War II veterans. My brother and I are both Vietnam veterans and member of the Navy UDT SEAL. We both did 2 tours to Southeast Asia. So everyone in my family is a war veteran. I wanted to get that out right now, mm-hmm. so it'll help with the things that I'm going to say to you in the moments to come.
So ICE agents came to your school, you said?
What's that?
You said the ICE agents came to your school.
Yeah, the ICE agents came to the school where I went to high school, chasing some guy down just like the Gestapo. And I heard people were offended calling them that. Really? I can tell you right now, if my parents would have been alive and they would have seen what happened in Minneapolis, they would have called it the Gestapo too. So they come to my school, they use tear gas and pepper spray at the school. Now, here's a question I have, Piers. My Uncle Emil fought in World War I, and he was gassed. He came home, but his life was ruined. He could never do anything. What did they do? They outlawed it. Gas using chemical weapons became a war crime. Why is it that you can't use them on your enemy, but you're allowed to use them on your own people? That has always been, where is the media on this? You know, using chemical weapons against our own people, which is in essence a war crime.
Well, I think I wouldn't describe the gas used by ICE agents as chemical weapons. I mean, that infers weapons of mass destruction.
It's tear gas. They're spraying people from 6 inches away right in their face. I can't use that in war. I wasn't allowed to carry tear gas or any type of chemical weapon in war. It's banned from war. It's considered a war crime. You can't use it against your enemy, but you can use it against your own people. Doesn't something ring wrong there for you, Piers?
Well, a lot rang wrong about what was going on in Minnesota, and I'm very glad that it has been resolved, at least for now. And I think
it
Donald
hasn't
Trump...
been resolved.
Well, no, not completely. But
nothing's been resolved.
No, I understand.
We have 2 dead people here.
Yeah,
2 people were killed by the Gestapo here.
Yeah, I understand. And those investigations are ongoing. But at least the ICE activity that was going on and the way it was being conducted has been removed from Minnesota, which is a good thing. And I thought what happened was appalling. And I said so at the time. Let me ask you about Iran and your view of this war.
Well, here's how I feel about it. There's a simple thing as a leader, and you know this having been in the military. Trump wouldn't know it because he's a draft-dodging coward. But anyway, it's this. A war is justified if you're willing to send your kids. Because how can you send somebody else's kids to a war if you won't send your own? So I'm calling right now for Barron Trump. Donald Trump's son, you know, after all, he's had 3 wives, he's had kids by each wife, and nobody's ever served in the military. To my knowledge, a Trump in the last 100 years has never done military service. Well, Barron, you can change that. Enlist in the United States military right now. Do something your father didn't have the courage to do. Do something your father didn't have the patriotism to do. I want to see a Trump in the military. Everybody in my family is served, so I think I can say that with all due confidence. Come on, Trumps. Don't just reap the benefits of this free world. Somebody put on the uniform, and that's you, Barron. And I heard the excuse that Barron might be too tall. Uh-uh. David Robinson served on active duty. He was 7 feet tall before he ever went to the San Antonio Spurs basketball team. David Robinson went to the United States Navy Military Academy. He's one of my officers, not directly, but he would have been.
Okay, look, it's one argument that a Trump should serve. That's a perfectly reasonable argument to make. A lot of people feel that way. But it doesn't change what's going on in Iran. What is your view of this war? Do you think it's a legitimate war? Many people think that the Iranian regime has been the instrument of terror through the Middle East for 48 years.
Of course they have been. Of course they have been, Piers. But wait a minute. Trump then calls you guys, NATO, cowards. Mm. Wait a minute. NATO is set up to protect. That means that if a NATO country is attacked, they will all join together to repel it. It doesn't go in reverse. It doesn't mean if one of the NATO countries starts a war that all the others have to join in. That ain't part of the deal. The deal is protection, not aggression. And we started this war, and then he's calling you guys a bunch of cowards because you won't come in and help him. Well, why didn't he talk to you beforehand? And second of all, that isn't what the mission is. The mission is to protect the countries if they're attacked, not to go on the offense and do the attacking.
Okay, but do you think America was justified in joining Israel in the attack on Iran?
No. No.
Why not?
Absolutely not. Because we started the war. I'm not for starting any war. We fired the first shot. Plain and simple. You want to put it in Rambo terms? We drew first blood.
Many would argue, of those who support the war, that Iran had drawn a lot of blood through this regime for a very long time. They had supported and propped up.
Well, hang on,
Jesse. They had armed groups like Hamas and the Houthis and Hezbollah for decades. They had wreaked utter havoc, drawing enormous amounts of blood. And that actually the reason America and Israel had to deal with them now was that they were imminently going to get a nuclear weapon and may well use it. What do you say to that?
Well, here's what I say. Let's get the real history in. You know, I listen to people like Congressman Lawler in New York. They all love to go back to 1979, the day the Ayatollahs took over. They conveniently don't go back to when I was alive. I'm a little older than them. Let's go back to 1953, shall we? When Iran had a democratic elected president, the United States didn't like him. We pulled a coup d'etat, and what did we do? We stuck the authoritarian dictator, the Shah, in power. That's when the I Hate America started, was way back in the 50s when we interfered in their democratic elections. But how convenient we are that we forget that. Then in 1979, what took place? The Ayatollahs took over, who were probably worse than the Shah. But let's remember, the hatred of America was started by America. It was not started by the Iranians. We interfered in their government way back in the 50s and overturned their democratic elected president. And then the dictatorship started with the Shah and now went to the Ayatollahs. And here we are today. But I'd like for Congressman Lawler to at least try to go back in history from before he was born to see what could have occurred and that the United States was the person that caused the hatred between the two countries.
Now, Jesse, I know you're very scathing of Trump now. There was a time when you were on more friendly terms. Here's a clip from you both at WrestleMania 20.
You know what? I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House in 2008.
When you look at that, Jesse, I mean, that was 12, 13 years ago, I think. Trump has also been made a WWE Hall of Famer, which I know has angered you.
Yep.
How do you feel now looking back at that clip?
I feel that simply I was doing my job. I was doing what I was asked to do at the WWE. Trump being a Hall of Famer is a tragedy. This guy has never been in the ring. I got a good friend, Ken Patera, Olympian, first man to overhead press 500 pounds, 25 years in the wrestling business. Kenny Patera is not in the Hall of Fame. Donald Trump does not belong in the Wrestling Hall of Fame. He never earned it. You know what I had to do to get in the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame? At one point in my career, I wrestled 63 consecutive nights in a row. That's how you get in the Hall of Fame. When I was referring to putting a wrestler in the White House, I was talking about me, not him.
Really? That was a bit ambiguous.
Absolutely. I was the former governor of Minnesota. I'm the only real former wrestler. I don't include him. He's only in the Hall of Fame because he stopped an investigation against Vince McMahon, a sexual stuff.
Do you intend to run again for governor and therefore maybe president?
I don't necessarily intend to run again.
Here we go. They're going to set Jesse Ventura up to run for president.
I'm working on something that could send me straight to Washington and go face to face with this guy.
Really? Well, you would run
plans
for president?
Plans may be in the works.
I mean, he can't run for president again, so what would that involve?
Well, you'll have to find out, wait and see. I'm not going to spill it here.
You're not going to crash
but
the...
But I'll put it to you this way. Wait. Piers, I'll put it to you this way. We withstood the onslaught of the Gestapo in Minnesota. Well, I was taught in war to do this. You ensure that your backyard is secure. That's the first thing you do. Well, Minnesota's now secure. We've repelled the onslaught from Trump. Now it's time for us to go on the offense. So maybe it's time to send the Navy SEAL to Washington. Maybe it's time for a showdown between the Vietnam veteran and the draft dodger.
A fight.
Do you actually mean a physical confrontation? Or?
No, but if he wants it, he's in the Hall of Fame. Let's both get in the ring.
I mean, there is a UFC.
After all, he's in the Hall of he's in the Hall of Fame, isn't he?
Right, I mean, there is a UFC.
So there's Piers Morgan and Jesse Ventura. All of that's going on. You know, Candace Owens made a Freudian slip. Or, you know, I mean, you just don't misspeak like this. Now, she's talking about how Erica Kirk knew the weather that day when Charlie was allegedly assassinated. But she, Candace Owens, is saying that she didn't know what the weather was when Tucker was assassinated. She says Tucker, as if she already participated in some kind of pre-recording of some kind of assassination event of Tucker that they're going to roll out in the future or something like that. I'm going to play this. Let's listen carefully. This is Candace Owens on her show yesterday.
Ash, let me know. But the point is like, what? What? I don't care if it is like the most beautiful, incredible, scenic day when somebody is horrifically and unexpectedly assassinated in front of the entire world. I can't tell you what the weather was in Tennessee on the day of Charlie Kirk's assassination. I can't tell you. It didn't matter.
I can't tell you what the weather was in Tennessee on the day Tucker was assassinated. Let's listen to that again.
I don't care if it is like the most beautiful, incredible, scenic day when somebody is horrifically and unexpectedly assassinated in front of the entire world. I can't tell you what the weather was in Tennessee on the day of Charlie Kirk's assassination. I can't tell you. It didn't matter.
Tucker was assassinated. Okay, so did Candace Owens film up with the CIA? Are all these people operatives something that they're going to release later? Some type of event with Tucker Carlson. Now, they've alluded to this. Tucker said that someone had a hit out on him or something like that. This is getting very dramatic here. And we'll have to wait and see what goes on in the Central Casting soap opera. Guys, please support the show. The link's in the description. I'll be back on tomorrow, maybe even in the morning. There's a lot going on. It's getting wild. The show archives on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We'll see you later.